deal with, don't want to be judged, but don't want to, you know, be condemned either.
You're fine.
I'm going to preach out of 1 Timothy chapter 1. It kind of goes along with the Sunday school this morning. You know, I didn't read the Sunday school. And then when I had studied this message or had looked at it, and I was like, oh, that'll be a good message. And then the Sunday school kind of went right with it. So, 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I just ask that you'll have your way in this message and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You know, the Sunday school this morning was talking about in Colossus how they had, they were trying to superimpose other things on Christianity. They were trying to diminish Christ's work and go back to kind of a Jewish, I think that's what they were trying to do, is trying to go back to, you got to keep laws and you got to do these things, and as long as you do that, you're fine. And here, Paul is saying, you know, that to keep them and charge them that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. And I see this a lot in modern Christianity. A lot of people go back to mindless, trivial things on the Bible, instead of focusing on faith and walking with God and keeping a communion with God. They seem to want to, well, if we do this, that's good enough. If we just focus on these things, we've done good. And the gospel is more than that.
It says, the gift is not good enough.
Yeah. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Meaning they're just basically noisemakers. They're not doing anything productive. And desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And that's something that's very easy to fall into. It's a trap that I think Satan sets up for churches and, you know, certain Christians at certain times of their life. And we need people to warn us away from it. Hey, look where you're going. Look at that road ahead. We need to know what lies ahead in our teachings. If we start affirming something, we need to know what the end result of that is and not just say, well, that's good enough. We know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So that is who the God, that's who the law is made for. So if you want to keep the law, that's basically what you're saying about yourself. Is that, hey, I'm one of these people who needs the law to do these things. I'm not going to walk by faith because faith is too hard for me. And faith is a hard thing, don't get me wrong. But going back to the law diminishes Christ. And we're not supposed to diminish Christ. We are called Christians for a reason. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord, which was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, as a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made a shipwreck. See, as soon as you start losing faith, as soon as you stop believing, you start swerving into the rocks. If you have faith and you say, God is going to get me through this. If you say, I have faith, God saved me. Then you're going to overcome all the things that are in your path. But as soon as you stop believing, that's when Satan starts working all kinds of mischief. And not just Satan, but our own lusts start working on us, tearing us apart. He says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, Paul would know what that means because he said, I was a blasphemer myself. You know, so I'm turning them over to Satan so that God will have his work and teach them. But we need to make sure that we're walking by faith, that we're doing the things that God called us to do. You know, I talked about the thing with Larry Norman in Sunday school a little bit, that he had said that the church was getting so far off track. And he said misinterpreting scripture is a huge one. That people use the scriptures, but they take the context away from it and they throw out a verse. And then they say, well, I can stand on this verse. And they twist the meaning of it entirely to get away with it. You know, we've got to understand what we believe. You know, kind of one of the problems in Christianity is that we are the witness to other people. We're not the only witness. The Holy Spirit goes out. The Word of God goes out. But as in our part of it, we can mislead people. And we've got to walk by faith. And we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. If we're not doing those things, we're going to go all over the place. We're not going to be able to stand correctly. And we're going to be judged for it too, because God is a judge. And I can say that by faith. You know, I'm talking about we got to have faith. Well, that's a faith-based statement that God is also a judge. And he's going to judge his church and try to make it pure and spotless. I was thinking about that other verse in Hebrews. It says, of whom the world was not worthy. Yeah. You know, we need to live our lives in a way that the world is not worthy of us. That we are as spotless as we can be, as right with God as we can be. Knowing that we're never going to be perfected, obviously. Our perfection will come with our death, with the redemption of our bodies. But right now, we struggle and we kind of see through a glass darkly, but we're supposed to be walking with God. And we're supposed to be doing more than just giving a lip service, being obedient to what he calls us to do. I think God wants to call people to Christ to be leaders. You know, he doesn't want to call people to Christ to just follow the ways of the world. And unfortunately, so much of the church has started following the world. And we need to walk in a different way, saying we're going to lead this. We're going to think outside the way that the world does things. And I'm not saying that the world does everything wrong. But when you're talking about faith, they have none. When you're talking about laws, they can barely keep their own laws. You know, regardless of the Ten Commandments and the other laws of the Bible. Talking about morals, show me the world and how it has any. There's not much. Look at any politician and you can see all the lies and the corruption and everything else that goes into that. And we shouldn't be able to look at the church and see that, but too often we do. I was studying some of the Middle Ages and the popes and the different ones, you know, the Borgias were, can't remember his name now, but his last name was Borgia before he became pope. And the things that happened under his papacy and the evils that were done. And some people say it was exaggerated because the popes that came after him were his enemies, and so they rewrote history a little bit to make him worse than he was. But even so, things like these things of the of that kind of evil should not be named in the church. And yet history is full of the church having failed. But God is faithful and God still wants to redeem his people. And we need to walk in faith with him if we're ever going to have that redemption. Because if you say, God is going to save me for keeping the law, he's already said you can't do that. The law only shows you your disobedience. The law only shows you where you have failed. It does not show you how to keep it. We need something more than that, and that is Christ. So all of our hope, all of our holiness, all of our salvation, everything comes from Christ. If we try to do it apart from any other thing, we're going to fail. You can study Hindu, you can study Buddhism, you can study Islam, and you can study all of these different things, and some of them have things in common with each other, and some of them do not. You know, the Eastern-based religions are based around wisdom and multiple gods, usually. So you can go that way, and it'll teach you a whole different way of thinking, but it won't save you. And you can go to Judaism or Islam and study the laws, and they will set you up to be a certain type of person, but they will not save you. Salvation is only in Christ.
Amen.
And we need to make sure that we are serving Christ. Because if we're not serving Christ, we're serving someone else. And so the thing for the Christian is we take the name of Christ in our name. You know, we say we are Christians, which means little Christs. And we need to be worth emulating. We need to be worth following and not just throwing words out there to get the world to follow us. Because that's what so many Christians want. They want to be, they build their own ego on the things of Christ. And he didn't die to build our ego. He died to save mankind. And we need to be able to say, no, I don't want any part of that. I just want Christ to be glorified. And there's denominations now built on the concept of, hey, feed our ego. You know, there's people in the Assemblies of God pastoring and doing all kinds of things saying, feed our ego. I still remember that Chinese pastor saying, the church in the United States does so much without the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's a horrible statement. We need to follow the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit to lead men to repentance. And we've left that behind, trying to follow rules and guidelines, and hey, if we just follow this new book that teaches us how to win souls according to, you know, some man's guide, that's enough. And God calls people to be leaders. I mean, he calls Christians to be leaders, to stand up. And everybody says, well, I just want to follow. And I've always wondered why I was out of step with the world in a way, growing up and looking at how people do things. And I've always been one of these people who says, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And so many Christians say, you can't do that. You can't think that way. You're not allowed to think that you can do anything that anybody else can do. You've got to let everybody be a professional in their thing. You know, the idea that I can fix my well because it's broken is alien to some people. How dare you try to do that? You're not supposed to do that. You got your car, or you got a problem with your car, you need to take it to a mechanic. You can't fix it yourself. And there's a lot of shade tree mechanics that do their work and know what they're doing. But as cars get more and more specialized and more computer parts get added, it's harder and harder to do that. And that's kind of off topic for my point that we're supposed to be leaders, that we're supposed to be leading people and taking control. Don't think I'm saying that we were supposed to be in control, but we're supposed to be taking control, saying, Lord, you've taught me how to live my life. You can guide me into knowing how to do all these things. You know, I've said before, leading this church, that there are times that things have come up and God has shown me a way through. And it's not by my knowledge that I did it. It's because God has shown me. There are times whenever I've done things that I knew from past experiences, but there are times when God has come through in a miraculous way and we said, wow, we made that. You know, and looking back on it, how did we make it? I don't know. But that's why it's a walk of faith. Sometimes God can give us what we need to equip us for the job right at hand. Instead of us having to run out to find someone else who can do the job, he will equip his saints to do it. And too often the church loses faith and says, well, we've got to go hire the expert. And the expert may not even be saved. They may be just trying to sell their books and their guides and their videos. And God wants us to be walking by faith with him, not just reading and watching videos. I remember one of my friends saying that for a long time he was reading every book that came off the shelf. You know, the new Christian books, he had to be on top of them. He had to keep up with them and he had to know. But he said it didn't help him grow with God. Reading the scriptures helped him grow with God. So he had to kind of put that aside because it was feeding his ego but not feeding his growth. And we need to be able to say we know God because we know him by faith. And we can show him to others, but they also have to come to him by faith. You can give people a head knowledge about how things work, and that head knowledge will not save them. You've got to come to a place where you say, yes, Lord, I want to be yours. And I'm going to submit to you, and I'm going to do it your way. Remember Naaman in the Bible. He was told to go dip in the Jordan River, and he goes, well, there's better rivers. Why should I have to go dip in that one? You got to do it the right way, or it's not going to happen. If you are commanded to do something, it is by faith. You better do it the way you're told, or else you're going to mess up. And the church has messed up in so many ways. I'm talking about the universal church. And God is calling his people to repentance. So if we want God, God is willing to save. God is willing to redeem. And God is willing to take people back, regardless of their sins. But we've got to do it his way. We can't build on old things. We can't build on Moses. We've got to build on Christ. Because the former has passed, we are left only with the new. And you don't put the new wine in the old wineskin. You got to get new wine. Amen. And we need people to understand that we're trying to do things according to God's ways, not according to those old methods that don't work. Well, they worked for their time, but they don't work now. I don't call it consecration so much as just being submitted to God. I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same word. But just being, saying, I'm going to submit to God's will. I'm going to allow him to do the work. If we allow him to do the work, that means we're only picking up the pieces around the edges. He fights the battles. He does all of everything. Like I said, he equips us. So there is a work to do, but we can spend more time praying and thanking him and being in his presence and less time struggling over all that stuff.
We still have to make the consecration to live.
That's being submitted to his will. I mean, God calls his people to walk with him, you know, to be in love with him. He says, you know, you're going to obey that the person you love. And we need to be able to say, yes, Lord, we love you because we're obeying you. And if we are obeying him, then he's doing all of that work. He's doing all of the heavy lifting. All we are doing is walking with Him. And we try too hard to do it all ourselves instead of giving God the place where He just has it and does it. And that's part of the issue, is we need to walk with God in such a way that we know He's going to carry us through, instead of just saying, Lord, I hope You're there. And it's a sad thing when Christians themselves are saying, Lord, I hope You're there, instead of knowing that He's there and answering, knowing that He has everything in control. Just because we feel out of control doesn't mean that He's lost control. We also get caught in the thing of selfishness. You can be a mature Christian and still be a selfish Christian. Lord, I want You to bless me. And all we do is focus on getting blessed instead of saying, Lord, what do You need us to do? How do You want us to work with others? How do You want us to fix Your church? You know, we seek our own blessings instead of God's will, instead of doing good to others. And we need to be focused on it all. I mean, there is a time to be blessed by God where He touches us and equips us. But when He equips us, He is equipping us to do His will. He's not just giving us gifts to say, okay, now go squander them. You're supposed to use them. And we got to walk with Him. And the only way to do all of these things is to have faith to walk with Him. And we struggle with that so much. I think all Christians struggle with that in this day and age, because our whole world is based on the materialism. And everything we see is so materialistic. And, you know, you got to make the money. And if you don't make the money, then you got all these other problems. And it's sort of a dog-eat-dog mentality, because you're trying to do this and do that, and you're also trying to serve God on the side instead of making God front and center and serving the world on the side. We got to put our priorities in order. Make sure that we're giving God His place. You know, if He saved us from everything and we say, Lord, You are all and everything, then He needs more than just our Sundays. He needs more than just our Wednesdays. He needs more than just the few minutes a day that we say, yeah, Lord, I'm thinking about You right now.